This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's Friday, April the 21st, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll take up the cash grain market with Bruce Boster. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along with a complete look at the agricultural news for the day. We'll check in with Ag Extension economist Darrell Good about what his marketing advice for corn and soybeans might be. And just after the bottom of the hour, Steve Hilberg will bring us up to date on the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. It all happens on this edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit. Soft red winter wheat finished the May contract at 352 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent. July futures were down a penny today in Chicago. Futures in Kansas City finished the May contract at 437 and a half, off 7.5 cents for the hard red winter wheat. In Chicago, corn futures finished mostly higher. May contract at 236 and a half, up three quarters. July at 248, up a half. September's up one at 258 and a half, and December futures at 270 and three quarters in the corn pit, up a penny and a quarter for the day. Soy complex now, soybean futures May contract down a penny and a half at 569 and three quarters. July futures at 583 and a quarter, down 2 cents. The August futures at 589 and a quarter, off two. In the November harvest month, 604, down a penny and a quarter. May bean meal at 171.90, down 70 cents for the day. May bean oil at 24.61. up 47 on the day. Feeder cattle April contract 101.80, down $1.30. April's at 81.40 for the live cattle. We're down 77.5 cents, and the lean hogs finished at $65.52.5. They were up 47.5 for the day. Crude oil moving to new contract highs again, 75.35, the high price for the day and the new contract high. The last trade at 75.21, up $1.52 for the day, and the gold trading at 632.20 in the nearby contract. April up 12.40, silver at 12.96. They're up 45 for the day. Some numbers released from USDA right at 2 o'clock. Cattle on feed report out. On feed as of April 1st, 109, placed in March at 105%, and the marketed at 100%, both, all of those falling into the range. Analysts projecting pork inventory, which was also released by USDA, from 519.6 million to 525 million pounds, and ham stocks from 58 to 60.8 million pounds. The pundits projecting the average ending March belly stocks at 71.9 million pounds. Those stocks actually came in at 67.776, and the pork on hand at 499.425 million pounds. Of course, the range was 519 to 525 in the USDA reports. We'll take those up with Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, in just a couple of seconds.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In fact, Mike on the line with us now. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Zuzulo.
Hi there, Todd.
Tell me about these numbers from USDA and what they might mean on the overnight trade Sunday and Monday.
Well, the cattle on feed we'll start with. We didn't really like that too much, especially the on feed numbers. We wanted to see that number back towards the low end of the estimates. It actually came in towards the high end at 109. Combining that with the marketings, we've got a slow marketings pace at 100%. That was the very bottom of the range. So based upon the pit traders that we talked to throughout the week, they were really looking for a friendly report to be able to turn the tide in this cattle market and to prevent June from testing its early April lows right around that 73 or just below, June lows of just around $73. This report probably would say we're going to have to test that early April low in June live cattle futures and make sure that's a double bottom as opposed to a consolidation to take another leg out, because these are not the best numbers for the cattle pit guys from what we've picked up.
And the hog numbers?
Well, you nailed the belly stocks and pork inventory numbers on the nice side of the equation and the nice side of the ledger. Ham stocks also at 50 million pounds. That was well under estimates, too. It's almost like they got the month wrong on what their estimates were versus what the USDA came out with. So there's no big correction on that. That's a very healthy report, and we would suspect that we'll be able to build up against what we were able to do later this week. And maybe it explains, Todd, some of this this packer demand coming in, you know, towards the mid part of the week and sustaining itself as of today's close.
I'm looking at the changes on the week. Of course, the May, the new lead option. But if you look at the weekly change, and it looks to me like lean hogs, the May contract on the lead now, up $11.30 from last week. These things have been under pressure for a while, but that's a heck of a gain.
Yeah, and the June, that is up, you know, well over $3 off its lows, is, you know, likewise. And that's really healthy given the June contract is one of the weakest historically to trade in the hog complex. But I guess our mindset from a value level perspective is that we felt like the June really needed to get back up to around the 68.50 level. And if it does, we do want to get some hedges in place. There's some gaps, one gap in particular, up around 69 and a quarter, 69.50. We'd sure like to start selling at 68, 68.50 and scale up, sell into that gap and get some nice hedges in place, because we are running big, big numbers versus last year. The weekly report on the hogs, the commercial production, 390.7. That's just about 1%, 1.7% less than last year. So we still have a lot of hogs out there to kill. So there's a limit to what this thing can do, we think. But we think maybe that 68 is attainable now.
Can it be true at the Chicago Board of Trade, does the trade really want farmers to continue to plant soybeans? They managed to gain 7.75 and finish the November contract above $6 this week.
I think it's more of a situation where the trade lost its focus on the acreage report and the prospective plantings report and what the, you know, near-term fundamentals started to show, you know, once we got into the 1st of April, because what was going on in the outside markets. I really believe that the investment community, and you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, the investment community really does look at corn and sugar and bean oil, and bean oil is the focus here since we're talking about beans. They look at those as energies as much as they do food or feed grains, and I really suspect that between the downside in silver being offset by the strong, you know, rally in the gold and then the all-time record highs in crude, that the beans really lost their fundamental focus and moved over into the outside complex. And we talked to Dow Jones, Newswire guy, not too long after the close, and he was around the pits. And I made that comment to him. He said, I've actually heard that from more than one person today. So I don't think that's something that's really way out there and outlandish, Todd. I think it's something that really is going on in these investors' minds, that they really do see some of these commodities as energy commodities as much as anything else.
Yeah, given that, will they come back to the fundamentals, or will they simply see them as an energy commodity and continue to buy?
That's the best question that will be asked for the rest of this year. I guess our mindset is, let's take it one week at a time. Our mindset for next week is, let's take a step back. What we're saying and what we've been anticipating is we're going to have a big move in metals and energies to occur in this first half of 06. Mm-hmm. Iran in the Middle East is helping magnify this move. It's making it even greater than we had even thought possible. So it's moving at levels that we didn't expect it to move this fast, but the general trend is up for the first half of the year. But by the same token, we want to sell as it goes higher. And so we want to get pricing done now in a vehicle that leaves you backdoor, i.e. bought puts. So let's anticipate this commodity move being up now, but that's also saying the interest rates are up, the energy prices are up, you're losing gold demand right now, you're losing copper demand right now at these price levels, and this bullish enthusiasm will affect the business cycle, meaning the Fed minutes this week already said it. They're going to look and expect autos and housing to continue to slow. So you've got an issue where the raw materials, labor, interest rates can't be offset by a weaker dollar. And if that's the case, then we get more and more negative in terms of pricing opportunities as we get into the third and fourth quarter. So we say to clients, we say to farmers right now, let's get the work done now, let's get the puts bought now, and then let's reevaluate in a month and see if the trend's been established. And if not, we'll have to see. You know, we'll just have to see.
How much of the new crop beans are you going to cover that way?
Well, we've only got about 25% left, so we've only got 25% left to do, and that's what we're really itchy to do. we would be very, very eager to get that last 25% started on moving it and recommending selling it with the ball puts if we could get back to our overvalue level of 6.25.
So 6.25, and we're at 6.04 at the last trade of the day on Friday afternoon.
Right.
So we've still got another 21 cents before you start doing something there.
Yeah.
How about on the corn side of this ledger?
Well, 280 is still our target in these futures, because if you look at what December corn has been able to do, even if you try and program funds and inflation into the upside potential in corn over the last 25 years, it seems like 280 is a really tough spot to get above. And if you do, if you do get above those price levels, you've got an issue where the farmer's already out, the weather's already done the job to the supply, the crop's already short, and it's really done in the futures market, not in the cash market. So, we want to be put buyers between this 275-280 level and go all the way up to 100%. I think the biggest thing I keep going back to, and this is what I have written on my desk, I look at every day. Every time you think 350 corn and $8 beans, or you hear someone say that, remember the carryover and say it could also be $2 for corn and $5 beans just as easily. And so how do you balance that? And the only thing that we can see right now with what's going on in these outside markets and what's going on with this corn demand is let's get the bought puts in place and take it one step at a time.
Admittedly, I have not heard $8 beans and $3.50 corn for a while, but I know there are people out there thinking that, I'm sure.
You bet.
I heard $2.90 and $2.95 today from Daryl Good, in fact. You believe that?
I think it could be very possible. I think you just have to get the circumstances right. I will say that the outside markets, if our analysis is right, it's going to get harder and harder and harder as you get past June to be able to generate that off of something like the outside market. So then you're right back to the old-fashioned weather market and yield-cutting weather market, and then you go right back to, well, that's why I got the puts anyway, because I don't want to sell the cash, because I don't know what my yields are going to be. And that sounds very reminiscent of last year, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Hey, I got one other question for you. Do we have enough history behind us now with the beans in these outside markets for, what, a year and a half, 2 years almost, that we can start to get some semblance of how much they're going to actually add into the market? Is it a buck that they're going to maintain in the marketplace, $1.10, $1.50? Do we have an idea about this, or is it still we got to play it by ear while they're still learning the curve here?
I don't think we do, and I say that because I've started to see more information from some of the stuff we subscribe to that there's already second and third generation index funds coming on board, that they're not going to be just long only. And why is that? Because they lose quite a bit of money when they roll their contracts in a carrying charge market. And so they finally caught on in a lot of these long-only index funds that you're giving up a lot of opportunity cost by owning the front end and rolling every time at a loss is essentially what they're doing. And so there's more refinement and there's more new generation in terms of the index and the spec money. So I'd say, no, we don't have a good feel for that yet.
Oh, holy crud, that's scary, isn't it?
Keeps us in job security, Todd.
You betcha. Hey, I'll let you go. Thanks,
Todd. Thanks, Todd.
That's Mike Zuzalo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Friday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the weather with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Mike's solar forecast for tonight calls for partly to mostly cloudy skies across the two-state region, with some showers in the far south. Lows will range from 40 in northern Indiana to 50 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mixed with clouds and sunshine. Highs tomorrow from 65 in northwestern Illinois to 78 in southwestern parts of the state of Illinois. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, a senior U.S. trade official says if trade and agriculture ministers fail next week to agree on details for cutting tariffs and subsidies in Geneva, it will not necessarily be the end of the road for world trade talks. The official says a more important date is the end of this year. That's because if a Doha round is not completed by the end of 2006, there likely will be insufficient time for Congress to consider the deal before the president's fast-track trade promotion authority expires in mid-2007. Kansas Representative Jerry Morin met with WTO officials on Thursday. He says he did not walk away from the meetings with any illusions about the April 30th deadline.
All the people that we have met with today are demanding even more from the United States, greater reductions in that level of domestic support. And so it is our opportunity to deliver a message to those that are making those demands that politically in the United States Congress that will be very difficult, if not impossible, to deliver.
Meanwhile, Morin says an extension of the 2002 Farm Bill is not needed despite WTO delays. He says Congress should write the 2007 Farm Bill. The Japanese Food Safety Commission said yesterday it has failed to reach a conclusion about the safety of genetically modified corn known as BT-10 because it can't tell how the modified genes are distributed. The commission said it has not decided whether to approve the Japanese government's plan to allow corn shipments from the U.S. to contain up to 1% of the GMO crop. A measure that would require 10% of all gasoline sold in Missouri to contain ethanol was approved by the Senate Agriculture Committee yesterday. The vote moves the measure to the full Senate for consideration. The bill requires the standard to be implemented by January 1st of 2008. Technology from the Illinois Department of Agriculture will make it easier for the state to diagnose possible cases of soybean rust. Rachel Lippman has more.
The $93,000 upgrade will provide county agricultural offices with new cameras for the University of Illinois Extension's distance diagnostic system. The cameras will produce clearer pictures of soybean leaves potentially infected with rust. Agriculture Secretary Chuck Hartke says with the electronic diagnostic system, county agriculture officials can determine within hours if soybean rust is a possibility. Hartke says time is critical in detecting soybean rust because the fungus produces small pustules on the leaf of a plant that are a problem if they explode.
It's like taking a feather pillow and scattering it from the tallest building in town. It's going to be all over the place, and the wind will pick it up and it will scatter from field to field. If we can identify it in early stages, we can apply fungicides, control it to a small area in the field or to that 40 acres.
Illinois has never had a case of soybean rust, but Missouri reported several cases last year. The University of Illinois Extension and a Homeland Security grant will pay for the new equipment. I'm Rachel Lippman.
A new study by the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri says producers can expect to face 2006 fuel prices that are more than double of what they were just 4 years ago. The study also projects fertilizer costs for 2006 to be 10 to 15% higher than they were in 2005. Fuel and fertilizer costs for corn are projected at $124 an acre and $38 an acre for soybeans. And USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says new cases of mad cow disease in Canada will delay a rule that would have permitted Canadian cattle older than 30 months to enter the U.S. Johanns says USDA had hoped to finish by May a draft of the rule. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, tomorrow on that program, we'll talk with Extension economist from Iowa State University, Bob Wisner. But first, we'll get an update on what Extension economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good, thinks about the price of soybeans in Chicago. And for that matter, how to market corn. Price swings of 20 to 30 cents over a few days makes it difficult to market soybeans. These quick swings are called market volatility. But if you back away from the market just a bit, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good, the swings and the supply and demand numbers really are telling farmers when November soybean futures in Chicago are above $6, it's time to sell.
You would have to argue that unless the summer weather turns out to be really unfavorable, and we get yields well below trend, that prices will eventually move lower into the harvest period. So even some thought that we could see prices sub loan rate on soybeans if we have a trend yield. So I think that's a real concern, says that we need to pick some times and get some of the crop priced.
Corn's a bit of a different story for Darrell Good. He says unless the number of acres changes dramatically from the 78 million predicted by USDA in March, then there is potential for the corn market to remain quite strong and very volatile. There's that word again, during the growing season.
Now that we've moved to 275 D's corn, you'd have to say that there is a potential that we will see even higher prices in December corn sometime during the growing season. So, yes, we're in that territory where it's pretty attractive for pricing, but I don't think you can rule out 290, 295 D's corn, and certainly want to be, I think, pretty aggressive at those price levels.
That's Good's advice for new crop corn sales. Hold, and then pull the trigger at higher levels. His old crop advice is a bit more aggressive. He thinks it's time to clean up old crop sales. If not now, certainly by early summer.
Well, cash prices basically are right now at the highest level we've seen since harvest. The recovery since harvest more than covers the cost of storage. So I think you've got to pick a time here, early spring into the summer, early summer, to get old crop cleaned up. If we do have a favorable growing season and a trend yield, even with the lower acreage, I think there is a potential risk that corn prices could really get a little ugly late summer into the fall. So kind of saying, yeah, there's a potential for a good rally in corn prices, but unless we have bad weather, it's not going to persist. That's the key, I think.
Darrell Good says farmers want to use that key, that knowledge, to get sales wrapped up and not get caught with old crop corn in the bin during July and August with a new crop coming on. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Farmers Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market for the day. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
What'd you make of the marketplace over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it seems a little early to be trading a weather market, but that looks like what it is. We're coming in and watching forecasts by the day. Overall volume doesn't seem to be real huge. So limited volume on some of these days, churning back and forth by the day. We're buying some small lots of grain, both old crop and seeing some new crop and even some 07 on the books out here. And actually, compared to what we normally see, we've got a pretty good chunk of new crop on the books right now.
And you're satisfied that that's a good choice?
I think it's an interesting choice. I probably did a little bit of it myself on some of the family farm bushels. But what it does bring to mind is a question here when we get into the summer. If we do see the market popping, that'll tend to mute the farmer selling into it. You know, we've all got a little bit of sales on now, and if we get any type of weather concern on the market, that's that much less hedge selling to take the other side of it. So that's something to just kind of keep in the back of my mind here as we go forward.
Okay, and then your bids for the day are?
Bids for today, 223 on nearby corn and 555 on the beans.
Anything to add before I let you go for the day?
Basis seems like it's picking up a little bit on the river. We're seeing some better numbers trade for both corn and beans out there on the river, so a little bit of a pop as we get people in some areas back in the field making progress. So that's typical of this time of year.
Yeah, I was thinking that would be fairly normal as the farmers get into the field and away from the bins.
Exactly.
We appreciate you being with us on a Friday afternoon.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Farmers Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Fridays. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Newly released documents show that one of the jurors at former Illinois Governor George Ryan's trial complained to the judge about being called derogatory names within the jury room. A day after the complaint, eight other jurors signed a note complaining that the juror was either intellectually incompetent or had ulterior motives. The juror, Evelyn Ezell, was later dismissed from the jury after Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer found she didn't fully reveal her background on a jury questionnaire. The Champaign County Board is losing one of its rural members a few months earlier than expected. Patty Busboom says she'll step down from her District 2 board seat at the end of the month due to health reasons. The summer Township Republican had already planned to step down at the end of her term. Champaign County Republican Chairman Jason Berrickman says precinct committeemen from District 2 will meet next month to recommend a successor to fill out the remainder of Busboom's term. Busboom has served on the county board since 1998. Ken Mathis is running in her place in November. State Senator Rick Winkle of Urbana is apparently out of the running for the job of Central Illinois' top prosecutor. Copley News Service reports House Speaker Dennis Hastert has forwarded three names to President Bush as finalists for U.S. Attorney for Central Illinois, but Winkle's is not among them. The finalists include Darren LaHood, son of Congressman Ray LaHood, Justice Department Attorney John Mikulich, and interim U.S. Attorney Roger Heaton. An Indiana University spokeswoman says all five people killed in a small plane crash overnight were IU music students. Indiana State Police say a female pilot and four male passengers were on board. The plane crashed in dense woods near the Bloomington Airport after a flight from Lafayette. Champaign-Urbana's Boneyard Creek is the centerpiece for community-wide arts festival this weekend. And in connection with that arts festival and Earth Day, the Boneyard is getting a facelift. A crew of orange-shirted volunteers will gather tomorrow for a cleaning and planting project. Organizers hope hundreds of volunteers will show up tomorrow morning at 9 at Scott Park in Champaign to help out. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We're going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, it looks like it. Looks like most of Illinois and Indiana will have a fairly nice weekend, some lingering clouds, maybe some showers in southern Indiana tomorrow as a slow-moving low-pressure system moves out of there. But I think all in all, it looks pretty good. Should give the field some chance to dry down.
And how long will they have that opportunity? We have any rain coming next week?
Yeah, unfortunately, it looks like we could get some good amounts of rain Monday with a low-pressure system coming through, and there could be some locally heavy amounts there, especially through central and north-central Illinois. And they still could use some rain up in the northern part of the state. But down here in the central part of Illinois, things have been pretty wet, and after Easter Sunday storms, there was a lot of standing water in fields that I saw. And, of course, we saw reports of up to 3 and 4 inches of rain in areas over a fairly short time period. So we really don't need a whole lot more rain right around here at the present time. But the good news is after Monday, it looks like the rest of the week is going to be dry into next weekend. So we should be able to dry things out pretty quickly.
Speaking of the moisture, where do we stand compared to average?
Well, we're, of course, running ahead of normal for April so far. Precipitation through basically yesterday morning is well above normal all the way from northwestern Illinois through central Illinois and most of Indiana. The driest areas in the two states are in southwestern Illinois, where rainfalls really run only about half what they would expect here in April. And then far northeastern Indiana is a little dry, too. A little bit wetter than Illinois, but still running a little bit below normal. That might get made up this next week with this next storm coming through. It could bring some rain and help fill in those dry areas. But in general, when you look at the big picture, things are in pretty good shape.
And our temps have been warmer than usual?
Yeah, they have been running well above normal the last 2 weeks or so. Of course, last week, prior to the big storms, we were up in the low 80s, mid-80s, and that's running about 20 degrees above normal for this time of year. Really, in April, about this time, max temperatures run from about 60 in northern Illinois to about 65 here in the central part and 70, 72 in the south. So we've been, right now, today is pretty much a normal day for us.
And we appreciate you being with us.
All right, Todd.
And that's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. Hey, don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 Central Time for Commodity Week. Our guest this week, Bob Wisner, Extension Ag Economist from Iowa State University. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website at WILLAG.org. Should be up there by about 6 o'clock Central Time tonight. Don't forget when you're there and visiting that website to sign up for our weekend newsletter. I'll make sure that we put in the entire unedited interview with Daryl Good that you heard a portion of this afternoon. It runs about 8 minutes in total length as opposed to the 3 minutes that you heard and maybe, I don't know, a minute and a half that you got of Daryl this afternoon. That'll be in the weekend newsletter. You can pick it up at WILLAG.org. At least you can subscribe to it there. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.